We're continuing today with our series we're doing on learning the principles of faith. And so the message today is going to be titled, Be Imitators of God. If you have your Bibles, want to follow along, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 4. We'll look at verses 17 through 24 and then turn on over to chapter 5 and we're going to look at verses 1 and 2. So Ephesians 4, starting with verse 17. Paul writes, with the Lord's authority, I say this, live no longer as the Gentiles do, for they are hopelessly confused. Their minds are full of darkness. They wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against Him. They have no sense of shame. They live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of impurity, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you have heard about Jesus and have learned the truth about Him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Ephesians 5, 1 and 2. Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are His dear children. Live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered Himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Amen. So what I want to look first, we're going to look, as Paul describes, two different types of people here. The first one that we looked at, he talks about, is those that are living in the world, of the world, we might call them unbelievers. And he says, he instructs us in verse 17 to live no longer as the Gentiles do. So if we're a child of God, which he is writing to the Christians in Ephesus, to the Ephesians, he said, we are not to live no longer as we used to live. Live no longer as they are living. He said that they are hopelessly confused and that their minds are full of darkness and they wander far from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and their hearts against Him. And it seems today we see so many people that they're just closed to the message of Christ. They've closed their minds and they've closed their hearts. They don't want to hear nothing about it or about Him. So we see in this how those that are living out there, they're hopelessly confused. And that they have closed themselves up. They wander far from the life that God gives. Don't you guys? They wander far from the life that God gives. But he says they have no sense of shame. He says nothing they do bothers them. And they live for lustful pleasure and eagerly practice every kind of purity. That is just what they do. That is the life they've chosen, the life they want to have now, and so that's just what they do. He said, but since you have learned about Christ, you don't do that. I'm paraphrasing. You know, since you have learned about Christ, you no longer follow their pattern, the way they are doing, the way they believe in or not believing. He says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Let's go back to Romans 12, 2. We've talked about this a lot. I'm going to keep feeding them to you. Don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God. It's a decision you have to make to let God. Let God transform you. See, they've closed their minds and they've closed their hearts against Him. They don't want to let God transform them into a new person. It says, let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. So the life that they have is completely different from the life. Because once we come into the knowledge of Christ and once we let God change the way we think and change our attitudes, then we learn to know His will for us and what His life that He has prepared for us that we can have, which is always good and pleasing and perfect. See, the few of the functions of our mind, we've talked about the difference between the mind and the brain, but a few of the functions of our mind, while the Bible keeps calling, saying, change your mind and not, you know, not your brain. But if we change our mind, because the few functions is it changes the way we think. It controls the way we think. It controls our attitudes. And it also controls our desires. So my desires and what I used to want has changed. My thoughts that I used to think, the way I thought about things, the way I thought through things, has changed. My attitude has definitely changed. Amen. Well, you see, if you let God, He will start changing the way you think. He starts changing your attitude you had. He starts changing your desires that you have. Yes, God wants to give the desires of our heart. James also says, you have not because you ask not. And when you do, you ask for selfish reasons that you may spend it on your lust. Amen. So He changes our desires, and He still wants us to have good things, and He still wants to bless us. But He does not want to give us anything that's going to bring us harm or take us farther away from Him. So He's not going to allow something to interfere with our relationship. So when we start asking for things and when we start wanting our desires, let me just throw it in, we have to ask ourselves, what is my motive for that? Why do I want this? Is it for something just for selfishness, or is it something my desire that I have now is more desire to things I do to promote the gospel? It is things I want to do that brings God glory. It's things that I want to do that's going to point people to Christ. So in 2 Peter 1:4, and because of His glory and excellence, He has given us great and precious promises. These are the promises that enable you to share His divine nature and escape the world's corruption by human desire. To share His divine nature, I want you to grab a hold of this, because we'll talk about this just for a little bit, because to share His divine nature. To share is to take something, a part or a portion of a large amount, and divide it among a number of people. For example, if I had a big kettle of soup, I give everyone a bowl, and I had a ladle, and I had you come through a line, and I dipped it in, and I give each one of you the same amount, then I had taken something from a large part, and I'd given a portion of that to you, so you have each have the same amount. So God, in His greatness, in His He gives us the opportunity. He takes His nature. When we became born again, He gave us all a part of His nature. You understand what I'm saying? I want you to say, when we get into this just a little bit farther, but He shared to share in His divine nature. So no longer do I have my old nature. If I let God change the way I think, I let God change my attitudes, I let God change all my desires, my nature begins to take on His nature. And I can start crucifying it, as the Bible says, crucify the flesh and all that. I start pushing all my thoughts I had. I can start get rid of everything, because there's always, we always got this nature, the human nature, and our human desires, and our human way of thinking about things, and our human attitudes that we have concerning people and concerning things. But I have to keep pushing that back and take on His nature. If I'm ever going to be victorious in all this and have the faith that God wants to bring me up to have, I've got to learn how to take on His nature. In Genesis 1:26, in creation, when God created man, He shared His nature with him when He created him in His image and His likeness. So when we are born again, we take on a new nature, created to be like God in Christ Jesus. In verse 24, it says, put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. So he's telling you, we have the ability, God has enabled us through his promises that we can share in his divine nature. And here he writes in to we should take and put on that new nature that God has given us, created to be like God. See, some of you can't understand and don't comprehend what he has given us when we were born again. We have a new nature. We are taking on his nature. It says, when you were born again, you took on some of the likeness and the image of your parents. You took on, you know, people say something, well, you know, she looks just like her mother. He looks just like his daddy. You understand? You took on that image. You're not them, but you took that image of them. So, you know, I can look at Sherry and I can see both her mother and her father in her. I can also see parts of her mother and she took on a lot of her nature. I can also see she took on a lot of her dad's nature. So I can understand the battle she has her. So it's the same thing when we were born again. We took on a new nature. We took on our nature that is to created to be like God. Ephesians 2:10. He said, for we are God's masterpiece. Some translation says we are his workmanship. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so that we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. See, it's only being created anew and created in Christ that we can follow God's plan that he has for us. We are his workmanship. We are his masterpiece. You know, you're a masterpiece. You know what the psalmist says? When he looked at himself, he says, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And what he's saying, I look at myself, I'm in awe. Not fearfully, I'm in awe of how God created me. You know, I'm in awe on how he put me together. So you are too. You should look at yourself and see God's created, how he created you, and be in awe of how great he is. And how he took the time and he molded you to be the way you are. So we are in 2 Corinthians 5:7. He says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun, or it has started. It's just like a baby. When it's born, its life has started. So when you took on Christ, when you believed and received him in your life and you took on, you had a new life and it just started. That's why lots of Paul talks about being a baby in Christ. It's like now you got to grow up, relearning everything that you learn through the world. Because it's a whole different way of living. So that's why it says, when he said, since you have learned about the truth about Christ, now we got to change our thoughts. Now we got to change our attitude. We got to learn how to operate according to God's word instead of according to the way of the world. So we're learning about the principles of faith. And a principle is a fundamental truth that serves as a foundation for our belief or behavior. And I don't think it's not an even or, it's both. That's just the definition that was given, that is the foundation for a belief or a behavior. But when we look at the Word of God, not only is it the foundation for our belief, but it's also the foundation, gives us a foundation for our behavior. It's a kind of rule that guides us. Psalms 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. So if we look at it, God's word, what the psalmist is saying is, you guide me through my life. You know, not only does it give me a light that I can see close up, but it also gives the light that shines in front of me. It gives me a light for my feet that I don't trip over something and fall, but it gives me a light to light up my path that I can see on down the road. But Ephesians 5:1, it says, imitate God, therefore, or for this reason, because what? This reason is because you have took on his nature. You've been created in him. You've been created. Now you have that new nature in you. So now you are to imitate God in everything you do. It's because you are his dear children. You know, from the very beginning, we talked about, I want to lay that foundation to, for you to understand that you're a child of God. I told you that, you know, sometimes in the earlier years, I've called everything but a child of God. I couldn't argue with them. So sometimes with what we've done in our past can hinder us of letting that go, of letting the past thoughts and everything that's been indwelled in us, and to think, now I'm a child of God. The scripture says that we are a holy priesthood. That we are part of a holy priesthood. We are a chosen generation. See? Now, so again, now we are to imitate God in everything. Everything. Not just in this part, not just in that part, but everything we do, we are to imitate God. So now I've got to think, well, you know, we used to have them little wristbands that said, what would Jesus do? So now we're supposed to imitate God now in everything we do. And I'm keep repeating that for I got a purpose for this. So the scripture said in, let's go to Colossians 3:15. Let's see. So we are to, number one, we are to imitate God in having his peace. See, there's a peace that the world offers. We can have peace in the world, but it's not lasting peace. The peace I have today from the world side might not give me peace tomorrow in what I'm facing. But we are to imitate God in his peace. Colossians 3:15 says, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are called in one body, and be thankful. Now, the peace of God. It don't say the peace in God. It says the peace of God. The same as, of, the same as. We are supposed to have the same as peace that God has rule our hearts. Secondly, we are to imitate God in his love. 1 John 4:7-8 says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. So in verse 7, for love is of God. Love is the same as God. So then we get to, well, Ephesians 5:2. It says, live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. So again, we see the example of Christ, the same as Christ. We are to live a life filled with love, the same as Christ. Now, I give you all these right here because of what a point I want to make. We are also to imitate God. We are to imitate God in his faith. His faith. You ever think God about God having faith? But we are to imitate God in his faith. Romans 12:3. It says, because of the privilege and authority God has given me, I give each of you this warning. Don't think you are better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourself, measuring yourself by the faith God has given you. As God has dealt to, in another translation, as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. Remember when I was talking about sharing? How you took apart from a larger part and you dealt it out to a number of people, the same as what Paul is referencing here too. Each one of us, God, when we come across, each one of us was dealt that same measure of faith. Faith is given to us, here we see, faith is given to us by God, and it is from God. So each what we've learned so far right now is that faith is of God. We have the faith that we have come from God. God dealt it out to us. And it is from Him and it comes from Him. So when we were born again, we share in His nature. We share in His love. We share in His peace. And we share also in His faith. To share it, to give a part or a portion that comes from a larger amount and divide it equally among a number of people. For God has dealt to each one of us the measure of faith. So when we go to Mark 11:22. Now we talked about this a few. This is where Jesus went before he spoke to the fig tree and it dried up. He cursed it, he said. They come back the next morning. They saw it and Peter, as they noticed the tree was dried up from the roots. Peter made the comment to Jesus to look at the tree had dried up that he had cursed. And Jesus, in Mark 11:22, Jesus said to his disciples, have faith in God. And some translations says, have the faith of God. Now in Galatians 2:16 and then verse 20. I want to point out to you the difference between the word in and the word love, of. Galatians 2:16 and then verse 20. Paul's writing here. He says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Christ, in Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. Verse 20, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I want you to notice the two places there in this place he said, in Christ. Well, what Paul is talking about here, he's writing about faith as trust. When you look in the definitions, and you can get a lot of definitions about faith, but mostly faith in the Greek word is trust or confidence. So when we look at this, and I've always told you now, read in the context it is written. What Paul is writing here in this context is, he's talking about being justified, not by works of the law, but by his faith in Christ, in the work that Christ done upon the cross when he died for us and he made the atonement for our sin. Now his faith, his trust, his confidence is not in his works, but it is in the work of Christ. You understand what I'm saying? So that is why he uses that word, his faith is in Christ and not of Christ. Because his faith is in Christ over the works of Christ and not the works of the law. In Mark 11:22, Jesus uses the word faith as an action when he said, say to the mountain. So what Jesus is talking about here is where Paul uses the word faith as trust or confidence in the work of Christ. Jesus uses the faith as an action when he says, say. He instructs his disciples when he tells them to, instead of just to speak to the mountain, he says, say to the mountain. What he's saying is, use your faith that is of God and speak to the mountain. Use your faith that is of God to speak to a situation that you are facing. Use your faith that is of God, that is God, and say to it. Let it not think that you have to work something up. Faith is not a mental assent. It is of the heart. It comes from inside of you. So now it is embedded in you that what you believe is more reasonable about the Word of God, what God's Word says, than what the world says about it. You have that faith of God within you. He said, speak to a situation. Jesus spoke to a lot. You know, Jesus didn't always just pray about everything. Jesus went up on the mountain a lot and got by himself and he prayed and he spent time in prayer. But he spoke to situation. He spoke to the fig tree. He spoke when he got into the boat and with the disciples and the wind. You know, Peter tried walking on the water, and when he took his eyes off of Jesus and he looked at the waves and he seen how rough everything was, he began to sink, and they got in the boat, and Jesus spoke to the wind, and he spoke to the sea. He didn't start praying about it. He spoke. He used the faith that he had of God, and he spoke to it. He went into Peter's house, and Peter's mother-in-law had a fever, and he didn't pray over her. He just spoke to that fever. Start speaking to the things that you have. There's a difference when we need to pray, but also we need to know when we need to speak to something. We need to use the faith that God has given us and start speaking over some situations that's in your life. Speak to it for it. Speak the results of it. When God looked out over the world and he seen darkness, said darkness covered it. God didn't look, boy, it sure is dark out there. You know? He just looked at it. Let there be light. He spoke what he wanted. He looked past the darkness. I know some of they say that the translation of that is God said, light be. And he began to separate the waters. Hebrews 11 3. This is by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That things which are seen do not come by things which do appear. Well, then God just he created what he wanted to see. And he filled the waters when the waters were set and had their boundaries. He created the fish and put it, he said, let it be filled with different kinds of fish. And said he blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the sea. So we understand that God, he spoke and it happened. Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Speak to that situation you got going on. That you just use the faith of God, that came from God, that is in you, and speak it. Verse 24. Then Jesus says, therefore. See, whenever I see the word therefore, I want to see what it's there for. Or for this reason. It's there for a reason. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask for when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. But believe that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. You see, in verse 24, 22, 24, he says, when you pray, believe that you receive them. In verse 22, he says, believe that those things he says will be done. And he will have whatever he says. Jesus telling us to use the same faith. For this reason, therefore, when you pray, use the same faith that is of God to believe what you ask for when you pray, just like you believe when you speak. It's the same faith. There's no two different times. There's only one faith that comes from God. It is of God. Use that same faith when you're praying as you do when you're speaking. See, what we're going to talk about next week is a time to say and a time to pray. Mm-hmm. See, we got to know the difference. We got to know when it's time to pray and we got to know when it's just time to say. But either way, we got to believe. It don't matter if we're saying or praying, we still got to believe with the same faith, with no doubt. No doubt in when we're saying, no doubt in when we're praying. Mark 11:25-26. And whenever you stand praying, if you have anything against anyone, forgive him that your Father in heaven may also forgive your trespasses. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father in heaven forgive you your trespasses. Let me tell you, faith does not work in an unforgiving heart. Jesus said in one part of the scriptures, he's, if you come to the altar with your gift and you have aught against someone, leave your gift there. And you go make it right with him, then you come back and you offer your gift to God. That's how serious he talked about having an unforgiving heart. Because he said, God has forgiven us for so much, and we can't forgive someone else. So we make sure we keep our hearts pure in our forgiveness walk. In Galatians 5:6, for when we place our faith in Christ Jesus, there is no benefit in being circumcised or uncircumcised. What is important is faith expressing itself in love. And we all know 1 Corinthians 13 is the love chapter. But in verse 2, it says, and though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so I can remove mountains, but have not love, I am nothing. So Ephesians 4:23-24, in verses 5 and 1, we went through right here. Let me just sums it up what Paul is saying to us. He said, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes by putting on your new nature, created to be like God, imitating God in everything you do. That's the short, that's the Reader Digest version. Remember Reader Digest version? That it all was that. And all he wrote, that's what he said. He's telling us to let the Holy Spirit renew our thoughts and our attitudes by putting on our new nature, created to be like God, imitating God in everything we do. Use your faith that God has given you. Remember we talked about the scripture that says, this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Our faith is our powerful victory in Christ. God has given us everything we need to have a victorious life, to take stand against anything that comes against us. He wants you to be victorious. No one wants to see their child beat down or beat up or have troubles and not be able to overcome it. You want your child to be victorious in life, doesn't he? You don't want them to be discouraged. You don't want them to be hopelessly confused. You want the best for them. So does God. He wants the best for us. Faith is a decision you have to make, that you're going to go by the Word of God instead of by how you feel, what you think, what you've learned through the years before Christ. Now you're in Christ. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, imitating God in everything you do. Amen. God bless you.